In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I had a fantastic conversation with Sophia Arkenstall. Sophia is the project lead at Springfield City Group in the Health, Education and Smart City Division. And she is also an MBA candidate at the University of Queensland. Sophia is passionate about creating happier and healthier cities through creativity, sustainability and design. In this episode, we discuss how we can bring that health aspect into the smart city and why it's so important to do so, as well as the lessons on this that Sophia has learned around the world. She has visited a number of different countries, including France, Switzerland, Denmark, and the United Arab Emirates, just to name a few. Sophia also tells us how she sees Australia embracing smart city concepts and smart community concepts, and about the Learning City project she's working on right now to help with the smart people aspect of smart cities. We finish our chat discussing the emerging trends of the economic impact of sustainable practices and the health impacts of commuting. This is the fourth episode in my Self-Care September series about well-being in our cities and communities, and I hope you've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed interviewing these wonderful people that are working in this space. So we had Catherine Flynn. We talked about music and dance and smart strategies for mental health. Then we talked about road safety and the implications that cities have on people's health and the bicycle revolution with Monica, which was awesome. And then we also talked to Dr. Catherine Laughlin about the attachment to place. So I hope you enjoy this episode just as much as you have all of Self-Care September, and we're not finished yet. We've still got an episode or two up our sleeves. So as always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns and smart cities. It's where we live, work and play with smart communities. The future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Sophia. How are you today?
Hi, Zoe. Really well, thank you.
That's good to hear. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you are passionate about?
Cool. Okay, so my background is, I think, a little different. I studied a Bachelor of Health Science and a Bachelor of Business at uni. So in health science, I studied public health and epidemiology and health promotion. So I definitely have that health background. Also studied a bit of project management. At the moment, I am doing my MBA part-time. So after uni, initially, I worked in the public sector in health administration roles and on some federally funded research projects looking at primary health. Since then, I spent a year in France. I was working for a entrepreneurial startup incubator, which was very fun and different. Quite different for me. And now I'm at Springfield City Group as a project lead within the Health, Education and Smart City Division.
Yeah, awesome. I want to dive into your background a bit more, but let's go on to firstly, what sparked your interest like in the smart cities community space? Like obviously you've come at it from a different area, which is, you know, health, which I love because I think we need more people that are focusing on public health in this conversation. So tell us what sparked your interest in this space.
So I think it was my background in public health, because public health for me was all about healthy urban areas. And that's how public health, I guess, really started, with eradicating disease and communicable disease, particularly through hygiene in cities, and also vaccination and things like that. But for me, I guess the health promotion side of things was really interesting. For me, I think of incidental exercise, promoting health in a way that's conducive through the environment. Our health is pretty much like 80% derived from our environment. So that being our socioeconomic status and where we live. So cities really play a big impact on that. I'm a keen, active transport user, so I love being able to cycle and walk about, and I know that that has a direct impact on my wellness and my health. So for me, that side of things was really interesting. I was also quite the environmentalist at one point and really conscious about CO2 emissions. So I think that environmental side of things, in a way where cities can play a role in reducing pollution, which obviously has a direct impact on our health. And then also being environmentally sustainable, was I could see that cities played a huge role in able to provide easier ways for people to get around, particularly like I was probably about 27 before I bought my first car. I tried to avoid that as long as possible. So I think that sparked my interest. And then where I am right now at Springfield, it sort of combined everything that I've done from the health side of things with business and being able to look at how tech can help cities as well.
No, excellent. And what is a smart community or a smart city to you?
A smart city for me is, I guess I do come from that health and wellness perspective. So it's all about the people, and I'm looking at cities in a way where the systems and the tech actually has a direct impact on the health and the happiness and I guess the wellness of the people who live there. From some of my travels recently, it's quite interesting just generally to see the disparities between cities globally. And I know that every city is different and unique. And so I think some of the fundamentals of a healthy and a smart city still are so important. Many parts of the world, for instance, sewage and hygiene from that aspect. From an Australian perspective, a smart city for me is a place where we are taking into account the future and the current trends around disease. So I think we need to do more to prevent illness. Cities play a huge role in that through health promotion. So for me, smart cities are all about helping the citizens lead healthier lives. So combating things like obesity, diabetes, mental health, and having urbanized environments with high density that benefit people. And of course, an aging population, a city needs to include everybody. So yeah, that to me is what a smart city is.
No, I really like, and I've been having a lot of conversations around this well-being and health aspect, which I'm really, I guess, enjoying bringing more of those conversations onto the podcast. So thanks so much for sharing that. And I'm really keen to hear, why do you think this smart city thing is so important, particularly when we're talking about health, like, you know, that's not a new thing. How do you think we can bring that health aspect into the smart city, and why is it important that we do that?
That's such a good question. I think for me, globally, health is going in a way that is more digital and more personalized medicine. So there is an aspect for cities to play a part in that, particularly, I guess, from a health promotion perspective. So using data to understand how people commute to work or how much time they are spending commuting to work as well, and how many people are using the parks and walkways and things like that. That sort of data from a smart city perspective really can help cities understand the health and the wellness of their citizens by sort of understanding how active and utilized particular zones are. So I think that concept is really important going forward, because we are becoming more urbanized. There's massive population growth in some areas, which has an impact on people's health, spending more time commuting and things like that. And then I guess because of the population growth and the time commuting, you probably might notice disparities between different socioeconomic groups. So there will be some places and some communities that are really well off and have better health outcomes, and then other communities that are probably more distant from the city centre or from places of work. Those places have poorer health outcomes generally. So going forward with an ageing population with obviously finite resources, the smart city concept is really important to ensure that we have healthy populations, and obviously healthy populations are more prosperous, more attractive to live. And so that active side of things, promoting incidental exercise and active transport, is really interesting. And I think as well, looking at energy and that sustainability aspect and pollution as well. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, like bringing those all together, I suppose, and how technology we can, well, one, understand, maybe one, I don't know which one's one, but anyway, one, understand what's actually happening now. So using the data to be able to make better decisions about where things go and, you know, encouraging active commuting and all that type of stuff. But then also to actually using technology to improve energy efficiencies and that type of thing and improve those outcomes for people, reduce pollution. Obviously, we can use technology to help us with that. And I think that the smart city approach is about doing things differently, right? So we've done it a certain way in the past, but we can't keep going the way that we're going, which is exactly what you were saying, both from a health perspective in people and then also a health perspective in the environment, right? And I think the other thing you touched on, which is something like that I looked at when I was looking at my Churchill Fellowship and that type of thing as well, was, you know, the fact that we are commuting a lot more, what does that do for our health and well-being, and how can we reduce that, particularly for people that have the most at stake, right? The people that are in situations where they must be in a place for work, how do we ensure that we're not detrimentally affecting their health and well-being just by the way that our cities are created to prioritize certain modes over others and that type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I think we should go on to the next question, which is, how do you think Australia is currently embracing the smart city concept?
I think Australia is doing really well. Obviously, that we have some of the most livable cities in the world. And for me, that's just a massive bonus that our cities are so livable. And coming from my health background, that side of things is so important for health and wellness. I think from that sustainability perspective, Australia probably could be doing more in terms of raising awareness at a city level on environmental sustainability and the impact of climate change. And looking at perhaps heat islands, introducing more green and green space and shade into our cities. I think as someone who does walk a lot around town, for instance, trees and shade are just so important for making that space somewhere where I want to go. Australia, for me, I look at it from that environmental sustainability perspective and ensuring that we have cities that are doing more around reducing waste and recycling. That circular economy aspect is really important. When I was living in Paris recently, we had 7 different types of bins for each type of waste, which was super interesting. And I know that, I guess, here we do it at a different end, but it's also about creating awareness of why it's important. And I guess when you're doing it consciously, you become a little bit more aware of it. And when I was in Europe recently, one of my friends from Switzerland was talking about how for him, smart people, smart services, smart technology and smart infrastructure was some of the things that Switzerland was focusing on. So when I think of smart people, I think we need to do more in terms of encouraging inclusion and everyone from society to be involved in the economy. So having policies that enable, I guess, women with children or people with children to bring their children into childcare or aspects where their workforce is increased. And I think more participation from women generally means that the economy of that city or that community is more prosperous, which is really interesting. When I was in Dubai recently, it was really interesting to see from a planning perspective how Dubai and the United Arab Emirates generally is really pushing a smart city agenda. They are pushing smart people aspect in terms of more inclusion in the workforce and the impact that has on the economy, and then also smart infrastructure. So their metro and the trains were really interesting for me. And also, I guess, it clearly is driven from the top, which enables to achieve a really grand vision, which is amazing. But also, I think you need that combination from the bottom up, that grassroots approach, where you also have smaller initiatives that create that awareness for the people who live there on what's actually happening. So you have a bit of a mixture, an approach that involves big scale projects, but also little small initiatives as well. But it was fascinating to be there. I know they're gearing up for the World Expo in 2020. And certainly because I guess it's that it's such a new city, you're able to do a whole lot of new things quite quickly, which was fascinating for me to see.
Yeah, no, in my travels also looking at those different approaches in different cities and the challenges that some cities face purely just because they're old or new or the constraints that they have. I found it really interesting to see how, you know, people work around those things and then, but actually like to get the smart community thing happening, we've got these support mechanisms around it and where they're strong, then, you know, you can move forward with these projects. And I also agree with the bottom up and the top down that you can't, you need both, or the middle out approach, which I think someone told me was on some kind of parody Silicon Valley show, the middle out approach. So I did want to say it because I don't want to be like utopia anyway, but like kind of having both of those and working together, because I think you're so right. The inclusion and the grassroots and all that type of stuff needs to come, but needs to be supported, right, by the leadership, because otherwise you can't really get the impact that the positive impact that we need in this smart city and community space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been really interesting to see the outcomes delivered through the City Deals smart policy that sort of coordinates government, industry, communities around that, I guess, smarter city approach, ultimately improving what's happening in a particular zone. But having that coordination and that approach really can help that fundamental part of a city through jobs and the environment. But it's good to have that policy level at the top being really supportive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes I forget how important policy is. Well, not forget, but like I appreciate how important it is in making things happen and certain things happen in a certain way, and you know how much it really affects the way that we can move forward in this space. So it's so important.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you're currently working on right now.
So where I've been working and my company, Springfield City Group, have been working with Engie, which is a French multinational. Their origins were around energy, and we've had their consulting firm, Tractebel, which are a Belgium group, based in our office for the last 3 months, which has been really cool to see them living and breathing the environment here. So they've been doing a city scan, which has been fascinating to see. And they've been looking at scanning the elements of the city or the community where things are working really well, areas where you can improve, looking at the heat of the city and where there's areas of more shade and green space. And they've been looking at ways in which we commute around the community. So they've been sort of working along, and they will actually show us some results soon. But it has been interesting to collaborate in that space with them and see what they've done globally. I think they were recently in Monaco looking at the heat islands and how CCTV is working in Monaco to make it safer. But it's been great to work with those guys. They're master planners and architects, so fascinating for me. Also been working, I guess, on an education aspect at Springfield, which is all about creating a learning city, which I think that smart people aspect of what you need for a quote-unquote smart city is obviously a really engaged population where people have the ability to engage in lifelong learning and in every aspect of their life, whether that be at school, at home, in the community, in parks, in libraries, everywhere is an opportunity within the space to learn. So that's been quite cool. We have a festival coming up in October. It's a week-long festival with events from schools and universities. So yeah, really excited to see that come off. It's our inaugural Festival of Learning. And then, as I mentioned, I'm studying my MBA. So part of the reason I started a future cities video series was to put into practice some of the things that I see and learn. And also, I'm just super passionate about trying to find ways in which we can be inspired from cities around the world or just anywhere and take out what someone is doing really, really well and use that. So I was in Paris recently, June, July, for an exchange. And I sort of captured some content and interviewed a couple of people, Vox Populus style, on the street, which was quite interesting. Parisians love their scooters, but they don't love them as much as some people. When I went to Copenhagen, I think a city that loves its bikes clearly naturally loves scooters as well. So it was really interesting to see Copenhagen this summer, this European summer. Then I was in London, which was really nice. And it's really interesting to see how public space and place is really well looked after and always activated and quite safe. So I haven't published any of those videos as yet, but it was great to go there. And that's something I love to do as a way of, I guess, communicating my passion with people. I will be going with UQ in November to Israel on a innovation tour. So really looking forward to that. I think what Israel has done in terms of innovation and being able to use that human capital to innovate is really fascinating. So looking forward to that.
I really want to go to Israel. I've been trying to work out a way to get there.
Yeah, I thought I should definitely sign up for this given you are organizing it. So yeah.
That'll be really fascinating. And I just want to say, yeah, I've really enjoyed all your content on LinkedIn. So thank you for sharing it because I know how passionate you are about it. So it's, I think, really useful part of the conversation and bringing it to the smart city, smart community conversation, I think is really important because we need more passionate voices in the space that are passionate about not just providing some kind of solution, but actually just continuing to make the conversation richer and more inclusive and about people's health and kind of really transformative change, I think is one of the things I've been thinking about a lot lately as well, which it doesn't have to be the way that it always has been and that different thinking. So thank you for bringing that content into the combo.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's been a journey so far and certainly it was a big first step to do it, but ever since I've just loved every minute, so kept going and really enjoying being able to share something a little different. Like I said, I'm not an architect or an engineer, but that public health aspect for me has really instilled a lot on the way I look at cities from that wellness perspective and how the people can live happier and healthier lives. So yeah, really, really passionate about it. And I love exploring cities and seeing what's happening. So very happy to make more content.
Yes. And I totally also appreciate that it's quite like making content is not super easy, right? Even if you're super passionate about it, it takes, you know, time, effort, all those fun things, but it is appreciated. So thank you for bringing it in.
Thanks, Zoe.
Okay, let's talk about emerging trends. What are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough?
So this one was one of the trickier questions. I think we're not talking enough, really. I'm not sure if this is a trend or not, but I think we need to be talking more about the environment and sustainability. That all starts with awareness, and talking about the environment is a very easy way of creating awareness around the importance of sustainability and climate change and the impact that has on business, on people and our cities. I think one of the things I took away recently from my time in Paris at ESSEC Business School was the fact that sustainability really has an economic impact on us in terms of investment in the long term and now. I think some people perhaps and some businesses and cities, for instance, think of sustainability as sort of like as a difficult thing to hurdle in the immediate short term. But realistically, people are investing in companies and cities and initiatives that take into account sustainability. because there's less risk in a company or an initiative that has thought about the long-term sustainability from an environmental perspective on that project. So that has big impacts on finance. And I know, for instance, from the startup ecosystem, if your startup doesn't consider the environmental impact or have, I guess, a culture that supports a real way to deal with the environmental impact of whatever it is that you're doing, it's harder to get funding. So I've seen that as a trend in at least Europe, and there's greater awareness around being able to prove concept and say, actually, we're doing stuff to be more sustainable. And that's, you know, not just greenwashing, it's actually part of the fabric of what we do. And it's really tight-knit within the culture of the company, for instance. So I think sometimes it can be perhaps greenwashing and just quickly ticking a box and saying, yeah, we are sustainable. But I think we need to do more to raise awareness, and also for initiatives and companies and cities to not just have quick fixes, but to really tackle the issue. So it's a long-term thing, and it is about being authentic and actually covering all bases, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess as well, the aspect we spoke about earlier, we've heard about a 30-minute city and the impacts of commuting. So I think we should be talking about commuting a little bit more, and I know you are, so that's fantastic. But for me, it's about having services, your employment, schools, and all the facilities that you need close by, because I think that has a real impact on people's health and wellness, and not just their physical health, but their mental health too. And having that tight-knit community can do a lot for people's health and wellness.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And have you been to Barcelona?
I have, but I was last in Barcelona probably like 6 years ago. So
I really enjoyed their super block, which is fairly old now, but it's about bringing the things that you need closer in a kind of a 9-block radius. And then it's only like 10 kilometers in that block, and then through traffic is diverted around it. And so priority is given to pedestrians. But then they also have a university like satellite kind of in that area. They also are self-sufficient with power, and then they use waste, you know, all those type of things. It's a really, really interesting, and they've done it for like years and years now, but now it's more also becoming kind of a proving ground for new technologies and that type of thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so keen to learn more about Barcelona and visit and see, but absolutely love how pedestrians are prioritized.
Yeah, I agree. I think the emerging trend space, or the things we need to be talking about more essentially, is the effects of our commute and the way we're going to work in the future as well. What will that look like? And who are the people that will be, if we keep going the way we're going, will continue to be left behind? And how do we bring them into the conversation? And how can they access the network, which is part of the inclusivity which you were talking about before?
Absolutely.
Excellent. It's been so great to chat with you, Sophia. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Zoe. I really appreciate it.
It's been awesome. I just have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
So you can connect with me on LinkedIn or on Twitter. I have a YouTube page and I have a blog called Voila Sophie. You could probably Google me and you will find something, I'm sure. But yeah, the easiest way is LinkedIn for sure. And then there's all the connections from there.
Yeah, we can put the links in the show notes so people can click away and find you.
Excellent. Thanks, Zoe.
Thanks again for coming onto the podcast. Talk soon. Bye.
See you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community or find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @smartcompod. That's com with 2 M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears, so thank you in advance. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Community Podcast is what you're looking for.